Pete Souza was the chief official White House photographer for President Obama and the director of the White House photo office. When he left the White House in 2017, he didn't know what it meant to throw shade, but he started doing it almost immediately on his personal Instagram account, posting his photographs from the Obama years with captions that vividly define the contrast between the Obama White House and President Trump's administration. Media organizations caught on and couldn't stop talking about Souza's posts, with New York Magazine calling them a masterclass in shade, CNN describing them as a silent social media shade-throwing protest told in visuals, and Politico naming him king of Instagram shade. Souza's following on Instagram has since grown to nearly 2 million people. He's also become a potent force in American life, offering incisive political criticism alongside powerful reminders of the best our country has to offer. The new book is Shade. It's a portrait in contrast telling the tale of two presidencies through a series of powerful visual juxtapositions with Souza's unforgettable images of President Obama delivering new power and meaning when framed by tweets, headlines, quotes, and other material from the first 500 days of the Trump administration. Again, the name of the book is Shade, A Tale of Two Presidents. It is published by Little Brown, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Pete Souza to the roundtable this morning. Pete, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
How much did you think about throwing shade, or I guess at what point did you think that this was a possibility to do what you ended up doing on your Twitter account?
It started just a couple days after the inauguration and the whole controversy with the administration lying about the crowd size. I didn't post anything on Instagram about that, but it got me thinking. And a couple days later, when I had seen a picture of the newly redecorated Oval Office with the gold ornate curtains and 15 flags or whatever it was in the Oval Office, I just thought it was appalling and posted a picture of President Obama sitting on the Resolute desk with the curtains of his decoration in the background. And I posted my caption. I think it said something like, kind of like the old curtains better, don't you think? And so that was kind of the start of it. It was very subtle, but people were catching on. But that's how it got started.
When you realize that it was catching on, I am not throwing shade by saying this, but I assume it was not overly difficult to find these very glaring comparisons.
Not difficult at all. As soon as a Trump tweet went out or a news story in the Washington Post or New York Times, a picture immediately came to mind. And then just trying to find the right words to express the contrast without being out of bounds, trying to inject a little humor in it, but also a little disgust, I think.
Before we go too far, what was that last day in the White House like for you and for feeling of what it was like for the president?
Yeah, it was very surreal. On my book tour now, when I do these presentations before an audience, I start out on that last day talking about the surreal nature of it, just the interactions between President Obama and the incoming president. And just how surreal the whole day was, knowing that, I think both myself and the president were somewhat relieved to be done. 8 years every day takes a lot out of you in that job. For him, as the president, me as the photographer, just always being there, and there was sort of a relief to that day, but it was an uneasy relief because of who we were turning the keys over to.
Who owns those pictures ultimately?
You and I own them. I mean, we all own them. Every picture that I took was saved. Nothing was deleted. And they all now reside at the National Archives. And there's a process where the ones that haven't been made public yet eventually will be made public. And people will be able to look at all the pictures that I shot during those 8 years.
What goes into the decision to make it public?
Well, for the pictures that I use in my book are pictures that we would have already made public in some capacity while we were during the, you know, while we were in the administration. In terms of the pictures that haven't been made public yet, my understanding is 12 years after he left office, they would be all made public, you know, unless there were some that was sensitive for classified reasons. But I, and again, I'm not an expert on the Presidential Records Act, but I also believe that after 5 years, someone could FOIA, you know, a certain picture or a certain day, and whatever process that, I don't know how the process works for Freedom of Information Act requests, but there's a, you know, there's a government process for that.
Pete Souza is our guest. The name of his new book is Shade, A Tale of Two Presidents. It is published by Little Brown.
The photos that we see in this book and we saw in your previous book, they're so beautiful. They have such heft to them, which is all the more impressive when you consider that they are done, and I hope you don't take offense to this term, but on the fly, right? I mean, it's not a stage sitting.
Yeah, no, they're all on the fly. You know, my job, I like to tell people my job was outside the Oval Office when the president showed up for work in the morning and just tag along with him all day long until he went home at night. And then oftentimes, even at night, there were things I was photographing. But I was, you know, just constantly there, not taking pictures every second, but ready to take pictures every second.
And I've heard you talk about this, but how aware was he of your presence?
More so at the beginning. I think there's a adjustment period where you, you know, for anybody, that here's this guy that's going to be taking pictures of you all day, every day. That takes a little getting used to. I think he got used to it after the first few months. I remember the first year in 2009, he and I got into a little bit of an argument. Not an argument, but he was supposed to meet with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was then the governor of California. And the meeting was scheduled for after lunch. My normal routine was when President Obama had lunch, I would go have lunch down at my desk because that'd be the only time I knew I could spend 10 or 15 minutes eating lunch. So I went downstairs, ate my lunch, came back upstairs, and Schwarzenegger was walking out of the Oval Office. And I'm like, what the F? And was asking his personal secretary, Katie Johnson, what happened? This meeting was supposed to be after lunch. And she's like, well, Schwarzenegger came early, so we just had it before lunch. And I go, well, why didn't you, like, call me? And I started kind of raising my voice at her. Meanwhile, the president's already back in the Oval Office, and he hears us bickering back and forth, and he comes out, and he's like, what's the problem here? And I explained to him, I said, well, Katie didn't tell me that the meeting was moved before lunch, so I didn't get any pictures of your meeting with Schwarzenegger. And he's like, well, yes, you did. You were in there taking pictures. I go, sir, no, I was not in the Oval Office taking pictures of your meeting. And he's like, yeah, you were. I mean, he was so used to me being there that he just imagined that I was there, and I wasn't.
You were a photographer during the Reagan administration. You obviously were the White House photographer for during the Obama administration. You clearly now are showing these, helping us see these comparisons between our presidents. But as we lost one of a very elite club, the 41st president of the United States, George H.W. Bush, during your time in the Reagan White House, how often did you photograph him? And I do know you've posted several things of when the former president was with President Obama.
I photographed him a lot as vice president because he was in a lot of the important meetings in the Oval Office and Situation Room. This would have been during the 80s. But also remember, he had a very busy travel schedule as vice president, and I did not travel with him. He had a separate photographer assigned to him. So the times that I would see him is when he would be interacting with President Reagan. And so I sort of got to know him, not that well, but, you know, fairly well. On my Instagram feed the other day, I noted that when he was walking from his office in the West Wing to the Oval Office, you could hear him coming, because he had this little click in his knee. Every step he took, you'd hear the knee clicking. You could tell he was coming before you even saw him. That's sort of like the one little detail that I sort of remember.
Inevitably, we compare. We compared 44 to 45. So as with the death of President Bush, we do look and say, all right, here is his legacy. And it's almost as though you have to have the three dots of dot, 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 but compared to what we have today, question mark? It seems that's inevitable now?
Yes, you know, certainly. The comparative part of it to me is the kind of character of the man. I'm not talking about policy at all. I'm talking about the way one goes about their business every day, the way they respect people. I always felt that Vice President Bush, because that's how I know him, respected other people, had high character. He was very loyal to President Reagan. And many times I heard him say to President Reagan, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I don't think that way if you compare him to the current president. I don't think he can compare in terms of character, the way he respects people. I just think he brings that club down so much.
Photographer Pete Souza's first book was Obama, An Intimate Portrait. His new book is Shade, A Tale of Two Presidents.
I think you make such a great point when you're talking about not with policy, because so much of your book and so much of what you have done through your social media feeds is to show us the difference really of the trappings of the office, right? Of the respect of the office of the presidency and the respect that the occupant that you served for as opposed to the current occupant.
That's true, but also what it means to be an American. By that I mean I take offense at the seemingly racist policy views of Donald Trump, the lack of awareness that we all emigrated here from somewhere.
Right.
And the way he tries to scare the American people into thinking that this group of mothers and children that are trying to flee political violence in Central America, coming through Mexico to try to seek asylum in our country for a better life, is un-American. That's like crazy. It's just the opposite of what it means to be an American. For him to lie about that too, and say, you know, there's bad Middle Easterners in the caravan and all this kind of stuff, with no proof. He loves to say things on Twitter and at press conferences as if they're true, and we all know they're not. He just makes stuff up. It's dangerous, I think.
When you think about those dangers, and when you think back to your time in the White House, I mean, I assume this is something that you regularly do, of think of what it would be like to be in your position that you had during the Obama administration if you were doing it now.
It'd be hard for me to last more than probably a day, probably walk out. And it doesn't seem to me, I mean, I'm not there, so I don't know for sure, but it doesn't seem to me that he, that he does that much. You know, if he's got a meeting with Kanye West, he brings the whole press corps in, and it becomes a reality show. Same thing with like a cabinet meeting, you know, brings the whole press in, and the cabinet members one by one tell President Trump how great he is. That's how he conducts business. It's a reality show presidency. I would be probably frustrated as hell in that job, but I would also be, I don't know that I could live with myself and and be the White House photographer for this current president.
Were you ever frustrated when you were photographing the Reagan White House?
Sure, but that was more of a, there was just some of the policies were not some of the things that I believed in, but I admired and respected President Reagan. He respected other people. I think he respected the office of the presidency. So it's sort of somewhat different. I think President Reagan would, who did meet Trump a couple times, but I think he would be appalled at the way he's behaving in the Oval Office.
Obviously, in the two books, there's a great fondness that comes from you and the photographs that you present and the way that you present them. Did that come later, after the job was done?
I think it's a collection of authentic pictures. I sort of take a little bit of offense, not the way you phrased it, but with some other interviews, that all my pictures are of him or show the smiling Barack Obama. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I got a pretty vulnerable picture of him reacting to learning about the shootings at Sandy Hook or the night of the Benghazi tragedy. Those are not flattering pictures by any means, but I think they're authentic. And I think if you go through, especially my first book, I wouldn't say that every picture in that book is flattering, but I would say that every picture in that book is authentic and hopefully accurately captures the mood and emotion that was pervasive at that particular moment.
Certainly authentic. My question, though, is more in the sense of in the ideological differences that you may have had in the Reagan administration, but you respected it, you respected the president and you did your job. Did the same thing with President Obama. But was there a fondness, was there a comfortable sense in working in that White House because there was more of an ideological match?
That's partly it, but I think it was actually more due to the fact that I watched how the sausage was made much more so in the Obama administration because I had such incredible access to every meeting and every discussion that he ever had. He likes to say that the only decisions that come to his desk are the difficult ones because the easy ones somebody else would have already, you know, signed off on. And oftentimes decisions that he has to make are, you know, they're just difficult because there's no easy answer. So I always felt that the comfort was more that I understood exactly the decisions he made and why he made them based on what was coming in terms of the information, which is like just the opposite of Trump, where he like says he makes decisions from the gut. He doesn't even listen to reason on issues. And that would just, I mean, that'd be another reason why I don't know that I could last in that administration.
Pete Souza is our guest. He was the chief official White House photographer for President Obama and director of the White House Photo Office. He is the author of the new book, Shade. When's the last time you talked to the former president?
I just talked to him the other day. I guess it was, what's today? Monday. So I talked to him, like, I think on Friday.
And is that a friendship? How would you define it?
I think it's a professional friendship. I mean, I'm not the kind of guy that gets invited over to his house for dinner with he and Michelle. He has a different set of friends that, you know, that fit into that group. But I'm the kind of guy that he will, you know, I'll get invited to a holiday party or, you know, he was actually called me. He had a question about, I don't want to go into too much detail, but he had a question about relating to his book that he's writing now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he and a lot of the conversation is like, how's Patty, my wife, you know, and I'm asking him how the girls are doing. And he was telling me about, this is a guy that I talked to probably every day for 8 years. And suddenly, you know, that's gone. So a lot of times when we talk, we're just kind of catching up on stuff.
Checking in. I'm just curious. Do you look forward to reading his memoirs?
Oh, yeah, I do. I always tell people that I thought I knew his moods and emotions better than anybody because I saw him in all these different compartments of his life. And, you know, and oftentimes senior staff people would come up to me and say, how's he doing today? Because they knew I was always with him. But I think it'll be interesting to see how he articulates those emotions that he went through during his presidency. I don't know how the book's going to be shaped, but I know he likes to tell stories. So my guess is it'll be a lot of vignettes as opposed to here's the facts, here's why I made this decision, blah, blah, blah. I think it'll be more enlightening than that in terms of the stories of his administration as he saw it.
I think a lot of people, and obviously there's a great fondness in the comparison, the comparison that you do. Do you have any sense of how history will treat his presidency?
I think one of his legacies will be the Affordable Care Act. It was interesting. It just happened this morning at the gym listening to his podcast with David Axelrod. Mm. And he was talking about the ACA when first passed. It was not popular, but they knew that over time, when people saw the benefits, that it would grow. And he thinks, in this podcast, he said to Axelrod that he thinks it'll only get strengthened and years to come, and talked about how when Social Security started, it was for widows and orphans, and then that social network eventually, or safety net eventually, grew into what it is today. So I think that's going to be his historical legacy. And then, of course, you know, people will say it's the first paragraph of his biography and history books will be the first African-American president. I mean, right. I don't think you can not mention that in the first paragraph. But I think he'll want people to be focused more on some of the issues like the Affordable Care Act and, you know, repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell and things like that. But, you know, I'm not a historian, and maybe you should ask Beschloss or Meacham that question.
We have asked those questions. So I was interested in your take as well. Final question for you, though, and that is, so what do you see as your next big project? What would you like to accomplish?
Yeah, I'm sorting through that now. I got a few ideas. I am trying to see if there's a story to be told from where my grandparents grew up, were born, in the Azores. These are Portuguese islands in the mid-Atlantic. And I've only been there a couple times, so I don't know really. There's 9 islands. I don't know them that well. But I got a couple of trips coming up there this next year just to sort of take it in and see if there's a project for me to do there. Then I got a few other things going on too.
I promise that would be the last question, but I want to sneak one more in because sure. In the acknowledgments of the book, you acknowledge the many journalists, especially the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the New Yorker, deserve special praise for their incredible work during the current presidency. Why did you feel it necessary to say that, and how does that come from the relationship that you had with the press during your time in the White House?
I used many of their headlines and first paragraph of their stories in my book. That was one reason. But two, they're doing great work. And I am, a journalist at heart to see the great work that, I mean, I named 3 organizations, but you could add a bunch of others to that too, to see the great work that they're doing in holding a president's feet to the fire, which is what the job of a journalist is. And the difficulty in doing it in this atmosphere where you have the president of the United States calling you the enemy of the people, calling what you write and report fake news. I can't imagine the difficulty that must bear on these great reporters. And it puts a lot of pressure on them to not screw up, right? To make sure they get it right. We're all human, we all make mistakes, but if they make mistakes on a front page story, it just adds to his ability to say what he says about the press. He's even admitted, though, that he does this so that when bad news comes out about him doing something, that he can sow doubt in the minds of his supporters by just constantly calling everything fake news and calling the reporters all the time the enemy of the people. And he doesn't really even believe it. He's just saying it to try to, you know, sow doubt. That's his. He could probably work for, you know, the Putin team that sent out all the misinformation in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. You know, he could probably, you know, if he doesn't get reelected, I'm sure Putin would hire him to help sow that discord.
The name of the new book is Shade, A Tale of Two Presidents. It is by Pete Souza. It is published by Little Brown. Pete, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Shade, A Tale of Two Presidents by Pete Souza, author of Obama, An Intimate Portrait. The book is published by Little Brown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.